Okay. Take a deep breath. You're going to have to make a big mental shift. We're getting right down into the intricacies and mechanisms of measuring quality. I'm going to be talking about incorporating the public health aims into the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality's National Quality Measures Clearinghouse. I also have no financial relationships to disclose. Acknowledgements, this is the team of folks who did the work I'm going to describe. From the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, Mary Nix, the project officer. From the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Health, Peggy Honore. ECRI is the prime contractor on the National Quality Measures Clearinghouse project, led by Vivian Coates, Melanie Swan, and with Vanessa Lucas, Jill Thomas, Carrie Anamante. And then the methodological team, a group of us here in Boston, Rand, Harvard, and Tufts, Eric Schneider, myself, Rick Herman, with Lauren Hunter. Now, ARC's National Quality Measures Clearinghouse, NQMC, is a searchable database for evidence-based quality measures and measure sets. It's been supported by ARC since 2002. NQMC does not contain measure results. I'm going to disband some frequent misunderstandings about NQMC. It doesn't contain measure results. Not results, but attributes or properties of quality measures. NQMC doesn't develop measures. We showcase measures developed by others. And I should add here, because the word has cropped up in this session, we do not endorse measures. We will tell you if a measure we're showcasing was endorsed or is required by some other party. But the use of NQMC is a little more subversive. A user can define their own selection criteria to find measures that they believe would be appropriate for them. NQMC currently contains 2,133 measures. They're mostly from the US, but also from all around the world. And those 2,000-some measures are made up by 110 measure collections, including 183 measure sets. Now, just to explain that terminology, an example of a measure might be the treatment of myocardial infarction in inpatient care. A measure like that might be part of a set of measures relating to hospital care, and that set might be one of a collection with other sets covering potentially other settings of care from, for instance, the Veterans Administration or the Joint Commission. Now, why did ARC develop and support NQMC? A number of reasons. Quality measurement has become increasingly important over the last two decades. Important for quality improvement, for consumer choice, for pay for performance, for oversight. It's desirable to standardize measures so that measure results can be compared across providers and settings. It's very important to distinguish similarly named measures. Small differences in measure specifications can completely invalidate comparisons. And developers can learn from existing measure formats. Those seeking to develop or use measures can find examples to guide them in NQMC. And we need a common terminology for performance measurement in order to share understandings about how to measure and how to interpret measure results. The components of NQMC are as follows. First of all, inclusion criteria. These determine what submissions are credible measures and can be included. Then there's a template of measure attributes. For each measure, we encode over 70 different attributes, most with controlled value labels or terms. There are then search filters, which allow the user to search the database and find measures of interest to them. You can search on virtually all of the measure attributes. And then there are special content search filters. For instance, measures are grouped into domains. I'll explain a little bit more about that in a minute. And you can also search by the triple aims, the National Quality Strategy aims and priorities. And soon, that's what we're talking about today, you'll be able to search by the public health aims. Lastly, there's a wealth of educational tools to help users learn about measurement and regularly contributed commentaries by selected authors. Now, how did we go about creating this taxonomy? Just to give you an analogy that helps you understand what we were doing here. When botanists began to try to catalog plants, they looked for distinguishing characteristics of plants so they could sort them into a genus. That's the initial task we had. What are distinguishing characteristics of measures that will enable us to say, ah, that belongs to that domain? So we, first of all, obtained measures. We don't devise new categories until there are some actual measures to be categorized. We then analyzed the methodology and content of those measures and decide what are the attributes that we need to be able to sort them into like groupings, differentiating between different types of measures. Once we've identified those attributes, we devise and name controlled vocabulary terms. And we keep testing those, their definitions and their use until we find that they can be abstracted reliably. And then whenever new kinds of measures emerge, which has been happening constantly since NQMC began, we adjust the inclusion criteria, the template, and the search filters to those new varieties of measures. Now you see, I told you we're getting down into the nitty-gritty here. I mentioned the domains that are the primary framework of NQMC. Initially, ARC directed us to concentrate on healthcare delivery measures or clinical measures. And that's our definition of them, measures of care delivered to individuals and populations defined by their relationship to clinicians, clinical delivery teams, delivery organizations, or health insurance plans. And the domains of quality measures that they asked us to focus on were the Donabedian categories, process and outcome, and also access and patient experience. Once we sort of had those under our belt, ARC asked us to expand to include measures that fall into the Donabedian structure domain. Then as we went on, we discovered that there are sets of quality measures that were submitted by developers out there often contain measures that were not themselves quality measures, but were really more descriptive of things related to quality. And so we came up with the category of related healthcare delivery measures. The first of those we encountered was use of services, so simply counts of volume that people would want to know about was the first example we encountered. And we also began to notice population health measures. Remember, this was within initially healthcare delivery organizations. So we began to include them. And then as time went on, more kinds of measures emerged. We had to expand the categories of related health measures to cover beyond use of service, use or enrollee health states, management. People were devising measures of management of organizations that didn't directly measure quality of patient care. And then cost, and they're just beginning to emerge, measures of efficiency, that is, of quality traded off for cost. And then our most recent big endeavor was to collect up measures related to population health and devise the categories we could use to capture those measures into specific domains. And you'll see they pretty much parallel the clinical quality or healthcare delivery quality measures. There are true quality measures. There are related measures that are describing things that are not themselves quality measures, and then population efficiency measures. Now, I mentioned search filters. So that's the sort of initial framework into which measures are entered. But users often want to search on other things. You can search on virtually any of the attributes, as I mentioned. But from the start, we offered a cross-cutting filter, which was the domains developed by the Institute of Medicine in the Crossing the Quality Chasm report. Those were included at the startup of NQMC in 2002. And then in 2011, we added the AAA, the National Quality Strategy aims and priorities. And in 2014, the topic we're talking about today, we're going to be adding the public health aims. Now, I mentioned we take an empirical approach. So I'm going to describe that, how we worked with Peggy and Rohit and others to figure out how we could add the public health aims search filter. First of all, perhaps the why. There's a new recognition of public health measures as an important component of population health. Federal and state agencies are investing in public health quality initiatives, and NQMC is obviously positioned to serve as a resource in this effort to capture, categorize, and allow people to evaluate and find those measures. So we went about it, as usual, in an empirical way. First of all, the Office of the Assistant Secretary of Health, in the person of Peggy, had approached ARC to ask about incorporating the public health aims as a search filter. They educated the NQMC team on the public health aims by sharing written descriptions and slides about the definitions of the aims and the kind of measures that were intended to measure achievement of those aims. And we, for our part, tried to reach toward OASH and discuss how the structure and function of NQMC might relate to the public health aims. Then we began a first pilot test. Using the population health measures that we already had in NQMC, we posed the question, could we classify these measures into the public health aims in agreement with OASH? So OASH and independently NQMC, using direct judgment, tried to classify these measures. And we misclassified many at this first pass. We identified the different understandings that were leading to these discrepant classifications. OASH then continued with its work on defining aims. And meanwhile, the NQMC team started looking at what NQMC could do. We devised a map matching each public health aim to those controlled value terms describing properties of measures used in the NQMC template. The NQMC team then selected a random sample of 10 measures from the Council of State and Territorial Epidemiologists' occupational health indicators and abstracted those 10 to prepare for a second pilot test, abstracted them into NQMC. So now we had them classified with the attributes that NQMC uses, and while the OASH team classified the sample CSD indicators using direct judgment, NQMC used two methods. First, we applied the control value map, and other parts of the NQMC applied direct judgment. Then we synthesized our findings to come up with a final classification by public health aim. And this time, when we compared the OASH and NQMC team results we had success. So we felt we had devised, in our usual empirical way, a way to capture public health aims as a filter for public health measures as they are entered into NQMC. So our next steps, under the NQMC contract had to be rebid competitively this year. ECRI won it again. And under the new contract, ARC specifies that the NQMC will be incorporating the public health aims into NQMC and will be using the combined strategy of the controlled value map and direct judgment to classify future public health measures as they are added into NQMC. And now, my final slide. You can find out anything you want about NQMC. It's freely available at www.qualitymeasures.arc.gov. Here you see the home screen. There's a lot to be found by mousing around this screen. You can find tutorials. You can search and browse for measures using the different domains and search filters. You can read the commentaries that are regularly added to the site. You can specify whether you want to get alerts about new types of measures that are being added in. And there'll be some other increasingly helpful user features under the new contract. It's one of those which is a potentially renewable annually for 6 years. If you want to ask questions directly from NQMC about, from ARC about NQMC, you can do so by going to info@qualitymeasures.arc.gov. So stay with us on the journey and you'll see some interesting things. Thank you.
Thank you so much, panel. That was a lot of content material, and we still have 10 minutes for questions. So I'll open it up to anyone who has questions at this time. Yes.
Expert panel that we're convening in January. The idea is to be able, so this was just one, as you said, it was one intervention, kind of trying to take it down and drill down into how the public health quality aims would work. What we want to do with the panels in January is ask them to select kind of a sample of interventions that address multiple aspects of the complex nature of public health. So there will be some behavioral interventions. There might be some clinical interventions, there'll be some structural interventions associated with, you know, economic change and built environment, and look at how you can begin to build measures for that particular example. And using then the inputs that the expert panel gives us, the idea is that that Peggy is going to take that and try and begin to build these kinds of metrics for all the other leading health indicators as well. So, as this evolves through 2014, what we're envisioning is that for each of the leading health indicators, we will select a set of key indicators that are key interventions that are multidisciplinary in nature, and we'll begin to build sample indicators associated with the aims for for each of those. So that's how we plan to build this out.
In the back. Yes, what we're currently developing now with Greg Randolph at the North Carolina Center for Public Health Quality is actually an improvement map. We're calling it, right now it's called an IMAP. And it's very closely resembles the IHI improvement map, where you have specific evidence-based interventions linked to a set of one or more of the IOM-6 quality aims. Greg's improvement map is doing an identical thing, where he has it populated now with about 6 or 7 interventions. We're now in the process of adding more focused on nutrition and diet and exercise, I believe. But they do link. He does show the linkage to the set of the 9 IOM aims, and the 9 HHS public health quality aims. And we do intend to have that live so that everyone, right now it's basically accessible to people in North Carolina, but we do intend to have it accessible nationwide. Eventually we would have a link on our website where you could get into it. But I would probably say that sometime after the summer that we should have that available. Yes. Well, I really appreciate that observation, Lisa, because I sit on the RWJRTI board for that project, and I've advocated from the beginning. I mean, our quality concepts have been out there since 2008. Theirs is a relatively new product, and I've advocated from the beginning that why aren't we meeting in the middle and, having all of this work come together. That hasn't happened so far for whatever reason, but I continue to advocate for that. That's part of the reason why we have the project going with Greg Randolph, is to show this is how it's done. You know, if we're going to advocate for these concepts, people need to see how it's done. So I truly appreciate that. Yes. Yeah.
for asking that question. No, that's exactly the point. The point is that, as Ellen said, so we've got a set of metrics, and that's great. But the question is, what do you use those metrics for? And so a couple of things are happening. First of all, on the expert panel in January, we're having representatives from IATI so that we can do exactly that. We can begin to take these metrics and begin to kind of roll them through to say, how do we begin to use Lean Six Sigma or model for improvement method to actually demonstrate how we can take those metrics and improve improve public health quality, a variety of different pilot projects. We're also beginning to look at working with other organizations to select specific community-based projects and develop a set of metrics based using the aims, and then to use those metrics for quality improvement projects that then demonstrate, because what we want to do is actually kind of, you know, the entire link in the IRM logic model between improving processes to moving the needle on the intermediate outcome to actually achieving the leading indicator outcome. That's the link that we want to be able to demonstrate. And you want to be able to demonstrate that you can do that sustainably over a period of time. And you cannot do that without actually having the quality improvement methods embedded in your processes. So that's what we're working towards. So good question. Thank you.
Anyone else? Yes. I think some of the aims lend themselves directly with, you know, the role of emergency preparedness. As a matter of fact, when HHS was developing the national security strategy, I advocated that, you know, that could be considered as some possible domains for that as well. So you're absolutely right. It's just a matter of getting people who work in those areas, or if we could get a pilot started with some interested people in that area where we can demonstrate the applicability. Because these are abstract concepts. I realize that. So you really need concrete ways to illustrate to people the applicability. So if you have some suggestions, let me know, and maybe we could talk about that. Yeah.
Just comment on multi-sectorial collaboration. Group of people sit around the table. One group has a certain kind of background, maybe very, very much indoctrinated into what you just outlined. But the rest of the people at the table, it might be conceptually similar with different vocabulary. But isn't there going to be tension if we bring this to the table too hard when we do multi-sectorial collaboration?
That's a very good question. And one thing that I'll say is that in some of the recent work that we've done with the Roundtable on Population Health Improvement, at our last workshop, actually, we had terrific people from the Departments of Transportation, HUD, and EPA, who came and sat at the same table next to defense and talked about what they're doing in the space of improving health along with other outcomes that are priorities to those departments. And it was interesting to learn that measurement is really important to them too. And so I think in addition to the level of the spectrum of action that Rohit talked about, which is very specific things for program design and implementation, I think there's the sort of upper, you know, 64,000 feet up in the air level of federal agencies working together and talking about, now how do we measure? So one of my questions, and this is something I'm sort of trying to find out as part of the evolving work of this roundtable, is to find out if the National Prevention Council, for example, is looking at or thinking about measurement issues across departments. But we know that, you know, HUD does its own measurement and transportation does its own measurement. So at some point, I think there will be some kind of coming together of the minds.
You know, that's such an interesting example because they all have some similar stakeholders. You know, Congress is looking at each of those departments, and they don't want to pay twice for the same thing, of course, among other points of attention. Interesting. Thank you.
Well, we're 1 minute over, so I'll thank everyone for attending this afternoon.